All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, the 1st of December. I am Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we are going to break down our cash game value plays for this week, coming up week 13 in the NFL. If this is your first time with us, we're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, or DFSR.com for short. And you can go and grab a free 3-day trial of the projection system that's informing pretty much everything we talk about here today on the podcast, or any day on the podcast. That's free for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after that, which includes our NFL projections, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, and also NBA and really every other sport that we cover. All right, let's get into some plays for week 13. These are all posted in our value play article, which is up on the main site. So you can go, if you're more of a reader, go check it out. You can read the written version of this, but we're basically going to break down who some of the top plays we think are at each position for each site and who you can maybe target in cash games. Tomorrow we'll be back breaking down every game on the slate and talking just about the DFS implications for each game and maybe some other tournament plays you can take a look at or some different strategy pieces that could work into your lineups there. But today we'll focus on cash game values. All right, bud. Let's start with quarterback. So, last week, Russell Wilson was pretty much a chalk play and he sucked, right? but now we lead with him as, and we did not really actually play him last week too much, but now we lead with him to start our lineups. Do you think people are going to balk at that based on like sort of like the recent performance by him and considering he was such a huge play?
Yes, people will definitely balk at that play this week. And, you know, there might be some merit to that. A performance that bad is pretty troubling. Sometimes it does raise the, like, is there an injury red flag or something like that? But I think the signs with Westbrook are Westbrook.
It's all right, Wilson. But you got NBA.
All the Russell W guys, you know what I mean? the signs with Wilson are actually somewhat positive. I mean, you have to love that he was still getting out there and taken to the ground. That leads you to believe that, you know, none of those leg and hip stuff that he struggled with in the past are present. And after that, like, it's 3 great weeks before that and then a bad week. I don't know. Variance is still a thing in football for sure. And I think actually it creates a buying opportunity for him more than it scares me off him.
Yeah, that's interesting about the variance piece. That it is true that there are – now there's some quarterbacks that are less susceptible to it than others, when we'll get to a couple of them here. But when you can run, typically your variance is lessened, right, for a quarterback, because you just have – just every single way that you can – the same with running backs if you catch balls out of the air. Every single way that you can create points reduces the chances that you put in – a terrible performance, right? Then that, again, we don't want to target terrible performances. We want to target median or upside performances. But Wilson is just one of those guys that that he can just create points in different ways. Carolina is kind of a middle of the road team against the pass. They're decent against the run, so it stands to reason that Seattle is going to need to pass a little bit more. I like it, and I especially like Wilson from the standpoint that people are going to look at that recent game log. They're going to remember that they played him. And he stunk, and they're just going to – because people – one thing that people prey to way too much in DFS is the never again mantra, right? Never again. This guy screwed me. Yes. I'm never playing him again. Automatic X list. You know, we have guys like that I know, and I know most of it's like an emotional piece. But I think that encourages me on Wilson even more, because I think we'll get him just sort of under-owned as well, which makes him both cash and tournament play.
Yeah, and I think the outlier for me here was the 6 sacks. I mean, Tampa Bay is not a terrific pass defense by any stretch. And that just seems to me, it just smacks of kind of a random thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Carolina this week, still a very positive matchup, 7.7 yards per attempt allowed this season, which is the 6th worst in the NFL. So I think we could definitely see a nice bounce back here. And if the game script allows it to go in such a way that, you know, so like Tampa Bay pretty much knew that Seattle was going to be passing. If the game script goes in the other way and Seattle builds out a little bit of a lead, maybe gets a little bit more comfortable, I think we could see a very solid Wilson game here.
And that's the Vegas line, -7 for Seattle going in. Vegas likes them just to Carolina. Carolina has mostly just struggled on offense with Cam, so it's hard to imagine they can get a ton going against Seattle's defense. Seattle's defense is not the defense we've seen in the past, but Carolina is just they're having their own issues on offense. So I think we have positive game script, and I think Russell finds more to do in the passing game than they maybe can get on the ground. So
yeah, I think, and underrated too. I mean, Carolina with so much cornerback turnover this year. Vlad's 67.1 completion percentage, and that's just really high. You know, that's the third highest in the NFL. So I think that, all the signs seem to be pointing in a positive direction.
After him, walk us through the next couple guys on the list. You know, we have Wilson sort of cropping up near the top. And again, one more thing about Wilson. I know we spent 5 minutes talking about him, but price is a thing here too. When he has a bad week, the price kind of stagnates or drops a little bit. Like only 6,300 on DraftKings, 7,700 on FanDuel. He's significantly less than some of the other guys on this list that, you know, some of these other higher price quarterbacks. So we're factoring in price here as well. So I just want to make that point as well. After him, who do we like?
So, you know, we went back and forth for the kind of big money guy slot, considering Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Brees has been a very, very consistent fantasy commodity, but at this point, at least on FanDuel, he's 800 more than Rodgers. So again, in the old price consideration route, $800 is a big deal in DFS football. You know, there's not that much liquidity around certain positions, like $800 at the wide receiver position, for instance. Typically, is the difference between like a true stud and then like a tier below guy. And so Rodgers, given the price consideration and the fact that he's simply good, it kind of slots into this next slot. So I guess the primary motivation for playing Rodgers is the consistency, right? Yeah. I mean, we're on six straight weeks now with 23 or more fantasy points. The receiving core is very, very healthy. And the completion percentage is back up, right? After last year's 60% total, it looked like he had a slow start this year. It looked like we were settling into that being just kind of who he was. But since then, it's 68% completion rate since week three. And I think we still are just in Aaron Rodgers' prime. And that leaves him at kind of a discount here.
Yeah, and the consistency, you know, he throws a ton. The volume is there. He threw a little bit less against Philly last week, but that was somewhat of a pacing issue. And they actually ran the ball a little bit more last week. Now that they're getting some guys that can just grab a ball in the backfield and run with it, and guys like Starks. But you know, for Rodgers too, and we mentioned this with Wilson, 60, 43, 27, 33, 26. Those are the rushing yards over the last 5 weeks. That's a passing touchdown almost for each game. And when you can do that, and you can do it consistently, and he does, that is the case for me. Like the consistency part is the one thing I would probably, if I was going to pivot off Wilson, which we might at some point, it would be the consistency piece for Green Bay. They have one of the highest implied totals of the week at 26, a little over 26. So yeah, Rodgers, he just is continuing to do it every single week. And it's really hard to get away from like that kind of player profile. And then the last guy on the list, you know, just to get out of the same price tier, we try to write up guys in different price tiers so that you can, I don't know, anyone can just write up the most expensive guys and make a case for it. But we have Barkley there. Is Barkley a guy, Matt Barkley, that is, if not, I'm unclear about that.
Right.
I think most people would probably know that, but who knows. Barkley, you know, it's Matt Barkley. He's the third string quarterback for the Bears, but I don't know, make the case for Barkley here.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that crops up from time to time, and it's pretty unusual, is we get a change in the starting quarterback for a team, and the guy is actually not horrible. And the reason that all matters is because the price just opens up so much availability at other positions that you always at least have to consider it, right? I mean, it's why Dak Prescott was the top play among pros in the first week of the season, why we've seen some other guys like Colin Kaepernick wound up doing great work for people on cheap prices. You can really, really do a lot of good work when you're paying $6,000 or less on FanDuel at the quarterback spot, and that's where we're at with Barkley now. So last week, he went out there, 316 yards and three passing touchdowns. That is elite-level production for a quarterback, and the fact that that's even his ceiling, like, you don't need that to be his floor. I think a lot of people look at this pick, and they'll say, oh, man, talk about a small sample size. Like, he just went out there and got lucky in 1 week, and now we're going to play the guy. But on a $6,000 price, he could reduce that to 250 yards and two touchdowns, and you'd still be pretty happy. So, you know, just taking all that into consideration, and that's actually about what we haven't projected for, just 18 fantasy points. But it's just not easy to score three times your salary on FanDuel, or almost four times your salary on DraftKings, right? Like Drew Brees would need to score almost 30 fantasy points to pay that same price. And so that's really what's going on here.
Right. And then on DraftKings, you get him at 5,000, which is basically bottom of the barrel pricing. And now, you are opening up the rest of your lineup for high-priced players just in about every other position. And the Bears are favorites. Bears are favorites again. I mean, it dropped a little bit. They opened at -2.5. Now it's down to -1. The fact that they're even favorites with a guy like Barkley behind center really probably tells you more about the 49ers than it does the Bears. But the 49ers, 30th in DVOA against the run, 24th against the pass. They play at a super fast pace as well. So they are just turning, giving more volume to the opposing team. I love Barkley in this case. I think that you see him not as a chalk play necessarily, but way higher percentage start than anyone would have figured going into last week, let's say, right? And just, it's one of those things. Perfect, nice price, great matchup. Has shown at least some modicum of success in recent weeks. So I think he's not necessarily the safest guy in the world, but the price makes him safe. Let's go over to running backs. Where are we looking here? Is this a position we want to pay up for this week? Is it something that, you know, do we want to pay up for safety? That's kind of been a theme for running backs lately, that you kind of almost need to pay for some of that safety at this position.
Yeah, running backs, I think there are a couple different directions you can go this week. It's interesting with running backs because we kind of bounce back and forth between, like, the two places you generally want to be are in the top tier, where you're going to get elite production that, for whatever reason, the sites just don't want to overprice. Like, they almost seem to cap it, and that just leaves value on the table on the high end, or guys that inherit a new role. And So this week, given that there's an absence of guys, you know, good guys that are inheriting new roles, I think that we're left with more of the elite level guys. So, well, they didn't actually start our list, but the first place many are going to turn are David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Both these teams have favorable game scripts to be projected this week. Bell and Johnson are both just incredible usage guys. I mean, Bell is touching and exceeding 30 touches per game. He's doing great with those touches, as you might expect. And David Johnson, meanwhile, I mean, the knock on him going into the season was, you know, was he really going to produce in the red zone? Because he's not a prototypical goal line back, but that hasn't been a problem at all. He's really been doing it all. So both of them, reasonable matchups this week with Washington and the Giants. And I think you can pick one and go with it. I don't think you're going to be able to play both, so maybe you want to weigh in on which one you favor here, but yeah, both look like solid options.
Yeah, and I think you hit on the point, is that you can't play both, and I think that this will be the decision people struggle with because the pricing is being, and you don't need to go totally nuts at wide receiver, I don't think, this week, but I think that people are going to look at these two guys and just, this is going to be the decision they're trying to make because they're priced pretty much the same. They're, you know, $100 off on FanDuel and $300 off on DraftKings. I probably would favor Bell only because his touches just seem a little bit more consistent and the team is better. Like Arizona, they've had some struggles on offense in the past or recently, and now they've been relying so much on Johnson that, you know, he kind of fits the mold for just whatever they're doing because even the receptions are just totally insane as Palmer struggles to find more consistency with the passing game from their wide receiver core. So yeah, I don't know. This is really just true coin flip territory. If I had to choose right now, I'd probably go Bell, but I wouldn't feel like amazing about it.
All right, so this is, I think we're going to go a little no halftime challenge here. You ready, Doug? So
ooh,
I'm going to let people know, first of all, what no halftime is. It's an app that you can get on your iPad, phone. Do you put apps on your iPad unless you're a kid? I'm not sure, but you can put this app wherever you want, and it's excellent. Well, basically what you do is it's a one-on-one fantasy contest where you can put a challenge out into the world, just one player against one player, and you can see if other people accept it, or you can go troll around on their site and try to find challenges that other people have put out there that you think favor you. So one that you could put out there and almost certainly get accepted, although I think it's really close, is David Johnson versus Le'Veon Bell. And so I'll give you the case. I mean, this is just, like I said, I like both of these plays. I think this is awfully close, but I'll just give you the devil's advocate case for Johnson here. So Washington, 4.7 yards per attempt allowed on the ground this season. That's the second worst in the NFL. The Giants are a top 10 team by that metric. And I mean, while I think Bell is a generally better running back, probably, I mean, it's hard to say. David Johnson is excellent.
Yeah.
I do think that matchup winds up making a difference here.
Yeah, I think I'd just go Bell too. I mean, look, our system has them off by like, I don't know, just about less than a point, somewhere around there. Some of it stems from the Steelers are a little bigger favorites against the Giants at -6. Against Cardinals are -2.5. That does favor running backs a little bit. The farther away you get in terms of being a favorite, just that generally correlates to running back success because of game script. I think, you know, the Steelers are for a few more points. It's really close. I probably would take Bell. I wouldn't feel great about it. And this is a situation where if we were to change the expected volume in our system by one target or carry either way, that would flip these guys. So this is really just how close it is. After those,
yeah, and I think it's too, like, I think touching on the most important thing, which is just their opportunity. Like, yep. In the last 2 weeks, Bell had 20 or 36 touches against Cleveland, and then on just 4 days rest, he had 27 touches against the Colts. That's just more than David Johnson gets on any sort of consistent level. So I think that's really what the system is seeing more than anything else. Like David Johnson, while he does have those elite, you know, high 20s number of touches per game, 41 against Seattle,
right.
He'll also have 17 in 14 touch games, and that really does ding you when you try and add it up all at the end.
After those two guys, and assuming we can't play both, and I don't think we're going to struggle to play both guys, although I think some people will do that. Other running backs that we sort of see as in the safer range.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so actually, and you know, this might wind up changing as things move forward, but I think we have him projected right in the same range in terms of total points as Jordan Howard. And Howard is 2,000 cheaper than either of these guys on FanDuel. And for good reason, obviously, he's just not on that same level. But this matchup with San Francisco is just so good, yep, that the system is really pulling him out as a guy that, you know, again, when you can save almost $2,000, becomes close to a no-brainer. I mean, just to give some frame of reference here this season, the 49ers have allowed 5.1 yards per attempt on the ground. That is the highest by almost 10% over the next right, worst team. And after that, just the sheer number of yards, because they're always in these terrible game scripts, at 1,900 rushing yards this season. I mean, just put that in a frame of reference for a second. We're 13 weeks into the season. The 49ers have played 12 times, and they've already allowed what basically would be just an elite slam dunk fantasy running back one season. And
right,
we have 4 games to go. Like, this is a terrible team, and that's going to make Jordan Howard just a tremendous value here.
And people are going to look at last week, and they did kind of control Ajayi a little bit on the ground. Now, part of that was because the Dolphins were missing a bunch of offensive linemen. I think 3 starters from their offensive, yep, unit were out. So I know people might look back and say, oh, you know, well, they controlled him on the ground, and he's sort of an elite level running back. Well, there's a piece of context there that goes with that. And again, it's sometimes hard to evaluate those things going in. Like, what does missing 3 offensive linemen actually do for a player? I mean, it can't be good, but the hardest part we have sometimes is evaluating, okay, it's clearly not good, but how not good is it?
and
you know, we struggled with that a little bit going in. I don't see that as the case this week. Again, the Bears are favorite. There are very few teams in the NFL in situations where the Bears are going to be favorites as of right now, and the fact that they're playing one of those situations. Yeah, I'm pretty much all in on Howard this week. He's a guy that, he does it in both. He's sort of like Johnson in the sense that, and Bell too, he's going to be on the field sort of no matter how the game is going for the Bears. And so there's just a lot of safety in something like that. After those 3 guys, did we have anyone else we even wanted to consider?
Sure. I mean, we looked at Melvin Gordon. Gordon is another guy. He's definitely in that tier below rating now. You know, he's flirted with being sort of in that top 3 group throughout the season, just based on raw usage. But obviously, like, you know, last week, for instance, took a step back after he was somewhat of a chalk play. But a step back for him still looked like 89 yards on 17 rushes and 4 receptions. So it's not like you got crushed or anything necessarily. And this week he'll go into a much better matchup with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay this season, they're a bottom 10 team in terms of overall rushing yards allowed. And what Vegas sees is a pretty positive game script for the Chargers here. Leads me to believe that he could be a reasonable option. But again, when it all shakes down in the end, I would guess that he's sort of an odd man out of this top 4 group. But I can definitely see him making his way onto some lists, particularly on shorter slates.
Yeah, the case for him, it's a little bit more on DraftKings for me, where he's 2,300 and 2,000 less than Johnson and Bell, respectively.
That's a great point.
And so that salary difference, that makes a huge difference on DraftKings, especially where, you know, the salaries get a little bit tighter and, you know, you need to really allocate your cap money a little bit more, just like with a little more fancy than you do on FanDuel. So that's really where I see Gordon as being the big difference. After those, okay, so then we have the running backs, and I think those really, for me, we'll talk more about some of these other running backs tomorrow, but those 4 guys, and it's really just Johnson, Howard, and Bell that are the tippy top of the list, with Melvin Gordon as sort of like a significant tier below. Wide receiver this week, you know, okay, one thing I want to mention is, if you looked at the NFL injury report yesterday, like, nobody practiced. Like, I don't think any guy that was relevant in fantasy practiced yesterday. It was every single dude just took the day off. So these things are always a little tough to evaluate going in, just because not all didn't practices are created equally. So I think most of them were rest. Though I will say, the top guy we had on our wide receiver list was Tyrell Williams. Williams actually is dealing with a real issue, a real shoulder issue. How much does that affect, because he's been an elite target guy in the short term, really kind of just all season he's been a really solid wide receiver, but he's definitely injured. How much does that kind of bite into his safety going into this week?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly bites into it quite a bit. You know, when we wrote everything up, the report from San Diego was that Tyrell Williams' shoulder was, quote, good. Right. And so, you know, given that he exited last week with a shoulder injury, and, you know, we looked at it. This was in the fourth quarter, too, so there was no real way to tell that they just hold him out of the game because, you know, just close to the end of the game, and, you know, they just didn't feel like they didn't kind of need it. But we're just not sure, right? And so given that he missed practice, and this was the same surgically repaired shoulder he had in 2014, like, this is definitely not a positive sign by any stretch. And I think if we were to rewrite the article today, he wouldn't be the top overall guy.
Yeah, that's my concern. And this is the problem with sometimes with publishing early. We're going to end up making a note on him. Yeah, I don't know. This would be the number one thing I'll have to kind of just evaluate going into the week, is just how injured we think he is.
Yeah, I would just have to hear, like, no, he's totally fine. He's going to be out there and he'll just be great. But yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, I guess it opens up a different discussion, which is Dontrell Inman. I mean, Inman's a guy who's already seeing a lot of targets,
yeah,
and he actually can run a lot of the same routes that Tyrell Williams does. So Inman, I think, would just slot right into this role on the top. And the big issue on the Chargers here is that they just don't have many guys to throw to, right? I mean, Williams alone, like, if he's not playing, you're talking about 25 targets over the last 2 weeks to be redistributed. And that's just so many.
Right.
that's like wide receiver one, like Antonio Brownish sort of territory. And the Chargers are going to throw. Like, we know that they're going to throw. So maybe that boosts Melvin Gordon a little bit, catching balls out of the backfield. But Inman is really the guy. I think Inman will slot in and be something like a chalk receiver. At 5,200 on FanDuel, like, people are going to play the guy. So he's definitely a guy to keep on your radar, and he could actually open up a lot of possibilities in terms of paying up elsewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting about the Chargers receivers, too, because Rivers is actually a really good quarterback, right? So, like, this is where, you know, when targets get redistributed, it kind of depends on who's throwing those targets.
That's
so, like, when you have a garbage quarterback, and there's many of those in the NFL, sometimes you can look and be like, oh, this guy's, you know, we're looking at the Bears receivers this week, maybe with Cutler comes back, and you're like, there's a lot of targets to go around because Alshon Jeffrey's not out. Except then you realize that Cutler's garbage, right? And so, like, it kind of doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
When all those targets are bad. Rivers is not the case. Rivers is an elite quarterback, and he can redistribute the targets in a positive way. And so it makes you feel better about that receiver core when it kind of, because, like, look what they've done this year. They had their top target guy, Keenan Allen. He goes down, and they just make other guys their top target guys, and they're all consistent and pretty good. And that's really, that's more about the quarterback play than it is about really kind of the receivers. So I feel a little bit better about that situation going forward than I would if it was just like, you know, Brock Osweiler or something like that, obviously. So after him, you know, we have Julio Jones. If we're paying up for the big running backs, is Jones a guy that we can also pay up for among that elite class of receiver? I mean, the elite class of receiver I would put on the main slate to be this week, it would be Jones, obviously Antonio Brown, and Odell Beckham, and maybe Mike Evans. Of those guys, do you see Jones as the clear favorite over the other four?
I do, and it's mostly, again, a price thing. You're getting a little discount on Jones. On DraftKings, it's a little different. He's 8,700, but on FanDuel, he's just 8,300. And given that the other guys are all, like, you know, close to 1,000 more than him, I think that he's just in that group. And when you can save that much money and still get a great wide receiver, I think you're kind of doing it, you know? The reason, of course, you're getting a discount on Jones is that he's just not as safe as he used to be. Like, he's been a lot more up and down. The targets have been a lot more up and down. But the Chiefs are, you know, kind of a bottom half of the league defense in terms of defending the pass. And particularly, they've ranked 26 overall at defending wide receiver ones per our projection system. So Jones coming off two really, really tough matchups with Arizona, who ranks first overall against wide receiver ones in our system, and Philly, who ranks eighth. I think Jones is in line for a great performance here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think because the way things are shaking out now, it seems to me like running back is the place we're going to pay up, only because there are also some just nice target plays in this middle tier. One of those other guys, I'm actually going to group these guys together just because they're on the same team as we kind of cycle between wide receiver and tight end, is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Jeremy Maclin practiced this week, though it's unclear if he's going to play or not. These guys have been huge target beneficiaries with him out. Okay, we're going to say all this based on Macklin doesn't play, right? Like, if Macklin doesn't play, do you see these two guys as, like, just really, really safe options in their price tiers?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Hill's been just great in the last or two of his last three games, and Atlanta has been really, really bad against the pass. And so the combination of both of those things, I think, makes him a very, very plus play. I think the interesting thing about Hill, and I wrote this up this week, but at just 5'10", he doesn't profile as the prototypical red zone threat, but the Chiefs actually really like him in the red zone. I mean, several times early in the season, he was brought in specifically in their red zone package, and, you know, 5 touchdowns on just 56 targets this year means that that's part of the plan once the Chiefs get down there. So, and, you know, very notably, the Chiefs have struggled to throw touchdowns to wide receivers in the past, even with Macklin there. So, yeah, I think if Macklin is out, Hill is an excellent option. If Macklin is back, it just becomes too risky.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to wait on, have to really wait on news. So that's probably for our lineups, at least right now. You know, obviously, you never set lineups for Thursday morning. Although I will say, if you're setting them for Thursday, if you're setting them for the Thursday night lineups because you want to play the Cowboys Minnesota game, I probably would err on the side of just avoiding that situation, only because if Macklin were to come back, you'd really probably get buzzed off. I feel a little bit better with Kelce, but just because tight end is just a rough position, but Hill would really, really take a hit. After Kelce, did we mention Kelce? I mean, Kelce just falls into like that same Tyreek Hill category, correct? I mean, just the target share is way up.
He's too expensive to really want to go there if Macklin does come back. I mean, the issue with tight end, of course, is that it's just awful. Like, yeah, it's really awful every week, but yeah, this is the worst tight end season in recent memory. We don't really have any of those elite tight end number one guys that you can just slam home. And when you're missing those guys, the next tier under, like, tight end has historically been the most variance heavy position. And so lacking the true tight end number ones makes it even more so. So yeah, it's a tight end's a mess.
It really, really is. When we do strategy talks kind of going into each week, tight end is the place that we just struggle the most. And I think that's the case for most people. You can see it among ownership percentages really every single week. Like last week, Gary Barnage was a 30% start. This guy sees 4 to 5 targets a game. And I think
he didn't even show up for the game.
That's
right?
What I mean. And
what he's supposed to do.
Like, exactly. We're talking about guys like Ben Koyak, who's filling in for Julius Thomas. Like, this is the state of... this is the state of tight end in the NFL at this point, is that you simply can't trust it. Like, when you're targeting a 5-target guy who has a garbage quarterback on a terrible team, I actually didn't even mind the play when I saw people. I didn't personally didn't do Barnage, but like, I kind of just understood it because I was like, well, who else is there? You know,
he caught a touchdown last week.
That's what I mean. Like, we simply just don't have another guy that's consistent. Yeah. So, I mean, we have Vance McDonald on there. Do you see him as... he's very cheap. You know, again, we go cheap, my friends, is usually the theme here when we just are confused about a guy. Is McDonald viable here at tight end, mostly just considering the price?
Yeah, sure. I mean, given that there are just so few options, I mean, you are looking at a guy who is getting pretty consistently 14% of the target share when he's out there. And the snaps, he played a season high of 57 snaps last week. And so if McDonald's going to go out there and, you know, just get that level of snaps and that level of targets, he can certainly be a reasonable option. I'm not excited. I mean, you can probably tell I just have like a permanent question mark at the end of all my sentences when talking about this guy, because I'm once bitten and twice shy after probably going too deep on tight end speculation last week. But yeah, no, I mean, what you like about McDonald above all else is that he's just been out there. The snaps are on the rise, and that's just more than you can say about a lot of guys this week. So yeah, it seems like a solid play.
And his target share, if you watch the trend, his target share significantly has increased with Kaepernick behind center. Like, right around the time Kaepernick took over is where McDonald started seeing his targets. So if you looked at sort of back at game logs and see early season, just lack of really any production, it's right around the week. There was the first week, it was not good, but since then, with Kaepernick has definitely been targeting him. So that's where I find him to be just a little bit, I mean, quote, I'm using the word safe, like in a relative term here. Like, he's safe compared to the rest of this tight end list, which is just really pretty grisly considering just how inconsistent some of these guys are. So
yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think, and so like when we just talk about the other guys, because some people are going to be like, hey, there's guys like Tyler Eifert and like Gronk, you know, and I think that it's worth pointing out. So if you look at a guy like Eifert, just to take him as an example, you know, the targets are stand to go up with AJ Green dealing with injury issues for sure. But even that, I mean, you're going to pay $6,800 for a guy who, even in this great situation last week, had 5 catches. Like, that's just not excellent. you don't want to invest up. Like when a position is bad, generally the rule in DFS is you don't pay up for safety at a bad position because you can just burn yourself just as easily. Like you play Tyler Eifert and he goes and gets you 6 fantasy points. Well, that's just as bad as playing Vance McDonald and he goes out there and gets you 4, except for the fact that you've paid 2,000 more for the pleasure of doing so when you have excellent elite options at other positions. And so given that there's, in my mind, a lot of uncertainty around a lot of these positions, I just don't feel the need to pay up for a guy like even Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski, who, you know, obviously are better players than the guys we're recommending. There's no question about that. But, you know, Gronk played 7 snaps last week.
Right.
Like Martellus Bennett hasn't been that good when he even sits. Like, I don't know. It's a really, really hard position. Another guy I was actually looking at was Antonio Gates for this week. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, he had no targets last week.
Right.
Williams is going to be out, but it just hasn't mattered. Like this position is at an all-time worst. And my guess is you're going to be happy if you just go cheap.
Yeah, we'll talk about a few more of these guys in the game-by-game breakdown tomorrow. But again, this has been a running theme for us. Tight end just is kind of puke city, and it does continue this week. All right, that's it for us today on the value plays for week 13 for FanDuel and DraftKings. We'll be back again tomorrow taking a look at every single game on the NFL main slate. We are from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com for short. Head over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, which calculates optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. It's free for 3 days and then $29.95 a month after that. If you're into DFS basketball, we also record a DFS NBA podcast that we were going to be recording right after this. So go check that out on iTunes. And if you're listening to the NFL podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes, as we just love to see nice things written about us. If you want to write something mean,
no doubt about that.
You want to write something mean, don't even bother. All right, we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.
All right, adios.